Our scripture lesson today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 36 through 53. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things." For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
If you were following along in your Bibles, as Kathy was reading the scriptures, you probably noticed that she only read through verse 48. I intentionally did that because I wanted to share the rest of that passage with you before beginning my comments. The reading continues saying, "And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." And then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. And they worshiped him. I want to start with a couple of little stories that are kind of humorous. One of them is one of my favorite comic strips. How many of you were familiar with the comic strip, The Far Side? Gary Larson. Oh boy, I miss that. One of my favorite Far Side was about a dog. A lot of his comic strips were about animals. And this one was about a dog. And I'll use the strip using my own dog's name. My dog's name is Wilson. But the comic strip was like this. One panel says, "This is what you say to your dog. You say, 'Sit, Wilson. Stay, Wilson. Fetch, Wilson. Be quiet, Wilson. Come, Wilson.'" And then the next panel says, "This is what your dog hears. Blah, blah, Wilson. Blah, blah, Wilson. Blah, blah, Wilson. Blah, blah, Wilson." The other story is a golf story. I played golf Friday morning for the first time in a long time. As a matter of fact, I couldn't remember the last time I played, so when you can't remember the last time you played, it's been a long time. And for occasional golfers like me, and I think there are probably some among us, you know, you have good shots and you have bad shots. You have good holes and you have good holes. It's the good ones that keep you coming back out there. Well, one thing that always happens with me is I'll have a beautiful shot that gets me right up next to the green. The only problem is between me and the green is a sand trap. Now, with occasional golfers like me, when we're close to the green, most of us like to use what we call a bump and run. You know, we just sort of push the ball up on the green. We bump it and let it roll up there. But when you got something in between you and the green, you actually have to hit it properly and pitch it over that. Well, when I'm doing that, I'm always saying, don't hit the sand trap. Don't hit the sand trap. Don't hit the sand trap. Sand trap. You see, what we focus on most of the time is what we end up doing, what we end up saying, what we end up believing, the things that we fill our minds with are the things that come out, and we have a tendency to live our lives that way. Well, for the past weeks, the weeks leading up to Easter during Lent, we had a whole series of sermons about making a shift. About making a shift from belief-based faith toward values-based faith. In a nutshell, this is a shift about our faith being how we live, not about what we believe. That our faith is not based so much on doctrine and dogma as it is based on values that we live. And this is a big shift for most people in the Christian church, because so much of the Christian tradition has been based on belief. And we have been taught this. We have been taught that to be a Christian, you must believe these things. To be a Presbyterian or a Methodist or a Catholic or whatever flavor of Christianity you are, there are certain things you have to believe. And we haven't concentrated very much on what are the values of this faith. And so it is a big shift. In a way, it's getting us to focus on the green instead of the sand trap. And we did this before Easter. And so now, after Easter, we're going to spend a few Sundays through the Easter season, which continues up until Pentecost. But through this Easter season, we're going to continue, but we're going to try to address the question, how do we begin to make this shift? And I want to suggest to us on this first sermon of this series that we make the shift from values-based faith, from belief-based faith to values-based faith by following Jesus more than worshiping Jesus. This is an important distinction for us. And today, I would like to just sort of lay the groundwork for us talking about this movement, this shift. Because it is a movement that takes place within our scriptures. It is a movement that takes place historically. But it's a movement that basically takes place in the opposite direction. The historical movement of the Christian faith has been more in the direction of moving away from following Jesus and moving toward worshiping Jesus. And I suggest to us this morning that if we really get into our scriptures and pay attention to our scriptures and do close readings of our scriptures, we will discover that that was never the intent of Jesus' life and teachings. The first thing we need to do here is just to take a look at a couple of words in the New Testament. In the New Testament, the word for follow, which appears many, many, many times throughout the Gospels, as people followed Jesus, as Jesus said, "Follow me." The word follow really means to be a disciple of. It means to pay attention to. It means to take on the qualities of whoever or whatever you're following. So to follow someone, to follow Jesus, when Jesus says, "Follow me," it means pay attention, listen. Try to do the things I do and be the way I am. A disciple. That's following. Now the other word is worship. Worship also shows up a lot of times in the Gospels and in the New Testament. It shows up as worshiping God, and it shows up numerous times as people worshiping Jesus. Now the word for worship that's used throughout the New Testament is basically a word that has Persian roots. And we need to remember that much of the New Testament culture that Jesus lived in was heavily influenced by Persian cultures, by Babylonian cultures, by Hellenistic cultures. And the idea of worship, this word, has Persian roots. And it's basically a word that just means to pay respect to. It means to pay deference to honor. And this is very, very interesting, that the word itself that's used throughout the New Testament for worship, as I said, going back to these Persian roots, comes from an idiomatic expression that is to pay attention to someone the same way a dog licks its master's hand. That's what this Persian root really means. It's that kind of affection and that kind of attention. Because people didn't know what to do with Jesus. We're told over and over again through the Gospels, people were amazed. He teaches with authority. He doesn't sound like the scribes and the Pharisees. He's telling us something different. They didn't know what to do with him. And so they began to pay respect to him. And it got to the point where when something unusual would happen, people would actually fall to the ground and put their heads on the ground in front of Jesus. And the majority of the time, Jesus always says, "Get up. Don't worship me. Get up. Go, tell, follow." He doesn't say, "Oh, thank you for worshiping me." He says, "No, that's not what this is about." As a matter of fact, many, many times when people are healed or demons are exorcised from them, what does Jesus tell them? He says, your faith made you well. He didn't say, I did this. He says, your faith has made you well. Go and tell. So Jesus continually deflects worship and emphasizes following. And very early on, this emphasis got switched. This morning's passage says the disciples worshiped Jesus. Now, if we go back to the original intent of the word, the disciples were just, they were showing Jesus the respect. They were showing him the deference. They were honoring him because they had been with him. They were good Jews. They know that you're not supposed to worship anybody but God. There had not been any church councils or anything to tell them about the divinity of Jesus. All those things come much later. They just knew Jesus and what he had meant in their lives and how he had taught them and how they had followed him and how their lives had been changed by living that way. And this is the sense of the worship. But through the next 300 years or so, the whole idea of following Jesus slowly becomes worshiping Jesus and telling stories about Jesus and turning Jesus into a theological movement, rather than living the way that Jesus taught and showed us to live. And this is what we're going to explore over the next few weeks. I'm so glad to hear that anthem this morning. What was the first line of it? When I wake up in the morning, when I rise in the morning, give me Jesus. When I rise in the morning, give me Jesus. And so, we're going to spend some time looking at what Jesus says to us. Because one of the most important parts of this scripture reading that we read this morning is what Jesus says to the disciples. And what he says to the disciples is, I've already told you everything you need. I've told you what I could tell you. I've told you about Moses and the prophets. And the scripture reading says, and he helped them understand how this fulfilled scripture. Now, I would think that's a clue to us to go back and take a good look and see, well, what did Jesus say to them? What did Jesus teach them? What do Moses and the prophets teach us? And if we begin to do that, we will begin to discover how to follow Jesus and do what he's asked us to do rather than worshiping Jesus. And that will be our journey over these next few weeks. We'll be like hiking on a trail. How many of you are hikers? Have been hikers? When you hike a trail, if it's a well-marked trail, sometimes you'll have a blue mark on a tree every now and then. Especially if there's a fork. There's a blue mark here or a red mark here. Tells you which way that trail's going. One of the most ancient ways of marking a trail is a cairn. Do you know what a cairn is? A cairn is simply a pile of rocks. It's a pile of rocks in sort of a pyramid shape. Maybe just stacked one on top of the other. And when you get out into open areas and you're not sure where the trail is going, if you'll look for the cairn, it will point you in the right direction. So in many ways, what we're going to be doing over the next few weeks is looking for the cairns that Jesus has left for us so that we can follow Jesus. And in following Jesus, discover those values that we talked about and how we can live them. Amen. Have you noticed in our biblical story of the Passion of Christ, which we looked at during Holy Week, the resurrection of Christ on Easter, the post-resurrection stories that we have begun to explore today? Have you noticed that all through these stories, there is obsession with the physical body? The body. These stories are trying to tell us that this gospel, this kingdom that Jesus brings and teaches, it's about the flesh and blood. It's about here and now. It's not something that's ethereal and off somewhere else, this gospel, this kingdom. It calls us right back into our own bodies. And communally as what? The body of Christ. It's all about being flesh and blood. It's all about being here. It's all about how we live and how we treat one another. And so in many ways, what we'll be doing over these next few weeks is we're going to be reaching out and touching Jesus just to make sure Jesus is real. And listen to Jesus and follow Jesus. Go in peace. Amen.